The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We are live today in the studio, so if you have any comments or questions or would like to participate in today's show, you can call in at 530-605-4567. You can also get on KCNR1460.com and join in on the online chat. Okay, today we are going to be talking about letting go. Letting go is a really simplistic idea, but it also is much more complicated than most of us believe. In my 34 years plus of private practice as a licensed marriage family therapist, I have seen countless examples of people trying to let go, of people who have successfully let go, and people who cannot let go, and it has altered their lives. So first off, let's go over what is letting go and what exactly do I mean by that. And then I want to give you some ways to look at the idea of letting go from possibly a different perspective than you've ever thought of before. And by the end of the show, I want to give you some concrete skills that you can apply to your own life on those things that you might need to let go of. So let's look at the idea of letting go. What kind of things do we let go of? I think the first thing that comes to mind for most people is letting go of a relationship. How do I leave a marriage? How do I leave my significant other? How do I let go and move on when I possibly love that person? That's the first thing we think of about letting go, because we tend to put our heart and soul into our relationships, and we form attachments. And when those attachments are harmed, either by betrayal or by problems or by simply falling out of love, letting go of those attachments is not easy. For starters, we're really corded, we're really bonded to that person, and often you care about the person even though you might not want to be with them. So a scenario that I hear often in my office is, I know this is not my forever relationship. I know that it isn't quite right for me. I actually know that I am often very unhappy, but I'm hesitant to let go. And I hear a variety of reasons. They usually start out with, I don't want to hurt him or her. I don't want to be the instrument of pain for that person because I really care about them. And then when we explore further, that's a piece of the puzzle, but as we explore further, the fears come out. What if I never find a better relationship? What if this is the best I'm going to do? What if everyone else out there has problems, maybe worse problems than this person has? I have history with this person. We maybe have a family together. We maybe have a history. I don't have that with anybody else. What if I leave and it's worse? I hear that often in my office. So the fear of the unknown, of what's beyond the letting go, the fear of making a mistake is often very difficult and hard to overcome. And the fear that you might be wrong. And so letting go is not as simple as just let go, just move on, just forget about it. So that's in regard to relationships. That's a very big letting go. And I'll give you a little piece on here that I often tell people in my office. Often when we need to let go of something, whether it's a person in a relationship or a job or a friend or something that's not serving us anymore, it's often not a 100% decision. We're really lucky if it can become 70-30 or 60-40. And most of you will know this is not good. I'm not happy. I need to move on. I need to let go. But there's a portion of you that likes what's there. You know, I usually tell people, look, you're not stupid. You didn't get with this person because they're an absolute horrible, evil person. You got with them because they had qualities that you were attracted to and you fell in love with. So what makes you think you're going to have 100% certainty that leaving is what you should do? Know that there will be ambivalence and know that there will be times that you feel like you can't move forward with letting go because it's difficult. So that's in relationship issues. There are other things that we need to let go of in life that haunt us or change or alter who we are, and things that can disrupt our happiness. Look at the idea of trauma. So many people I've seen over the years have trauma in their lives, whether it was childhood abuse, sexual molest, rapes, date rape. I've seen many, many military and first responders who have PTSD over trauma they've witnessed or helped people escape from. And those are things that it would be really nice if we could just turn them off, if we could just let them go, so that we could step into our current happiness. So letting go of old hurt and pain is another issue of letting go, not just letting go of relationships. Also, there's resentment and anger and wrongs that we perceive have been done to us. I had a person in my office who had a pretty severe job trauma where this person felt that they were betrayed and used, and something that they had invented was taken and kind of robbed from them and patented by the company, and they didn't get the credit for it, and they felt really betrayed, so that they didn't earn the money that they would have earned from their own invention, and eventually ended up getting fired from the company, and just really carried a huge burden of anger and betrayal, and it colored who they were in their current life. So the person could consciously say, there's nothing I can do about it now. It was, by the time the person was talking to me about it, it was, I think, about 10, 15 years later. But they carried this bitterness for a very long time. And any of us in that situation could understand how that could be. But the person was also aware that it made them very unhappy, and they had a difficult time letting it go. So think of the times that you have felt betrayed or disrespected or harmed in some way. We feel like someone has victimized us, and we tend to hang on to that trauma and that pain, partly out of instinctual reasons. We feel that if we can keep track of pain that has been caused to us, we can be aware that we won't allow it to happen again. We can feel on guard. We won't be made a fool of again. We won't be taken unaware. So we start to hang on to it so that we are safe. I often hear in my office, all men or all women are, you know how 20-year-olds are. Or, you know, there's just kind of a perception that certain types of people are going to be harmful. So I'll hear a woman, for example, say, I'm never dating again because you know what all those men are like out there, and I'm not ever going to find a good one, and do good ones even exist? So it's something to listen to with yourself. What are your prejudices? What are your expectations? What are your experiences that make up who you are? Those things like our values, our morals, our strengths, our weaknesses, our experiences, our prejudices all go into making up who we are. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about how we cling on to things and how we know when we should let go. So we're going to take a break. And we'll be back in a minute.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Join us Thursday, July 4th, Independence Day, for Dine and Donate in Elements Lounge inside Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, all you have to do is go in and have dinner at Elements on July 4th, and 10% of all dinner proceeds will go to Haven Humane. Plus, you'll get $5 in free slot play. Hashtag proud to play your part on July 4th. It's Dine and Donate at the Wind River Resort and Casino. Join us then.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you're listening to the incredibly beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. This is the track called Dream World, and it's from his CD, Walking with the Spirits. You can listen to Randy McGinnis's music on Spotify, iTunes, Pandora. You can go to his website, randymcginnis.com. So today, we are talking about letting go. And we are live at the KCNR studio. So if any of you have a comment or want to participate in this discussion, you can call in at area code 530-605-4567. So we're talking about letting go and how in my 34 plus years of private practice, I have seen this issue on almost a daily basis. Someone is always trying to let go of something. The issue is that we tend to grip really tightly to the things we love and to the things that we hate. Now stop and think about that for a minute. If the amount of energy you put toward a situation is indicative of how attached you are to that situation, then whether you are loving or hating is immaterial. You are putting an incredible boatload of energy toward a situation or toward a person. It doesn't matter if you love that person or you hate that person. You are attached. And when you are attached, if it is unhealthy for you, if it is not a good relationship or a good situation for you, if it makes you unhappy, if it diminishes who you are, then the issue of letting go is pertinent for you. Because I'll tell you, the opposite of love is not hate. They both have incredible amounts of energy toward a situation. The opposite of love is neutrality. I'm pausing here because I really want you to think about that. Neutrality takes the energy and the commitment and the focus off the situation and you feel neutral. Love and hate create a tremendous amount of energy towards something. Neutrality takes that energy away and allows you to let go and move away from the situation. Now, this is really profound, very profound. I have seen in my office horrendous divorce situations where the kids are torn apart between two parents. I've seen divorce situations that go on year after year after year with fighting and financial issues and the inability to disengage from each other. And a couple could be just as married through all the hate that they have as they were when they loved each other and lived in the same house. So stop and take a look at whatever situation you're thinking of letting go of. And have you applied as much hate as you used to apply love? Because if you do, you are still extremely attached. So one of the first things I want you to look at when you think of letting go, I want you to consider, why do you stay attached? Because you've probably already thought, I need to let go of this relationship, or I need to leave this job, or I need to let go of this group of friends, or I need to let go of using drugs and alcohol. I need to let go of my poor eating habits. I need to let go of my excessive spending and shopping. Whatever your addiction, your unhealthy behavior, your unhealthy connection that you have going that is making you unhappy, you've already thought, I need to let go of that. So when we're talking today, you fill in the thing that you need to let go of. But one of the reasons we have trouble letting go is because we're afraid. Now, you've heard in a prior podcast, you can go back to my podcast and you can listen to the one about love and fear. And the idea is, when we love something, we trust. Now, who do we love? We're supposed to love ourselves. We're supposed to love others in the world. And that place that we come from. My word for that is God. You fill in what word fits for you. But we trust those three things, all right? Ourselves, others, and that place we come from. Those are also the same things that we tend to be afraid of. We fear ourselves. We don't fear that we'll make good decisions. We fear other people because we've been burned and harmed. And many times people feel forsaken, like they are not loved by God, or there is nothing out there that is of higher energy or higher spirit or higher something that has any sort of force in their life. And that can, some people are fine with that, but others feel empty and lost and forsaken. So the things we fear are also the things that we tend to love. So when we're having trouble letting go, we have an illusion of safety that if we stay afraid and we focus on it, we will not be harmed. We won't make a stupid mistake by leaving when we shouldn't. We won't let somebody harm us and betray us by being made a fool of. We won't be blindsided by others' behavior because we are on guard. We are hypervigilant. We have the sword and the shield in hand, and nobody is going to get by with doing something to us. So in that place of fear, we cling on to the fears about letting go. And every person I've ever talked to about the things they need to let go of, it is very seldom just one thing that they're afraid of. So let's look at the idea of extracting yourself from a relationship that's not a good one for you. You are unhappy. Look at all the things you fear. One of them is, let's go to that 70-30 thing. You're 70% unhappy, but there's 30% of you or 40% of you or 20% of you. Pick a percentage that you love about this person. You like certain things they do. They're not all bad. There's times you smile or have fun. There's times you love that person. Or they do something and you go, oh, that's what I was attracted to, or that's what I love. So remember that a piece of the puzzle is, you don't want to lose the good things that you still have or the good things that you were attracted to. Some people cling to the good things that they haven't seen in many, many years, hoping those good things will show up again. So that's one piece of the puzzle. Another piece of the puzzle is, what if I let go and this is the best I'm going to do? What if everybody else out there is worse than this person? What if I'm as happy as I could be and it could get worse? That's scary, especially when you're unhappy. What if it got worse? The other thing is, I have history. I have attachment with this person. We have kids together. Or my family likes him and I like his family. Or we work together, and if we break up, that's going to be awkward at work. Think of those pieces of the puzzle that make you say, it could be a mistake if I left. often one of the pieces of the puzzle is financial. Are you going to be in a world of hurt financially if you leave this relationship? So what I have people do in my office is I have them pull out a piece of paper and draw puzzle pieces. Like take an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, draw a bunch of puzzle pieces on it, and fill in your puzzle of why it's fearful for you to let go or why you consider staying and leaving. But the idea is to open up your mind and look at all the issues, not just the primary one that you think of. Like, she makes me feel unwanted or unattractive, or he puts me down, tells me I'm stupid, he doesn't believe in me. Those are the big things that weigh on your mind. Look at all of the things. So that's the idea, that fear is the reason that we have trouble moving forward and letting go, even if we know that it's something we want to do. The other thing is the idea of taking a risk. We tend to live our lives in this thing I call the safe zone. When we're off in the safe zone, we have known expectations. It's calmer. It's safer. It's often lonely. But we tend to feel like we have control of our environment. So from that safe zone, we have to step outside of it and take a risk. When we take a risk, there's a certain amount of unknown that's going to happen in our lives. So often we look back at other risks we've taken, and if we have a history of risks tending to work out, we tend to be a better risk taker. If we have a history of getting burned and hurt when we took a risk, you can end up being a fearful risk taker. So you leave the safe zone and you take a risk. When you take a risk, think of it that generally positive or negative things could happen. Could it be both? Absolutely. But let's look at the idea that you choose to leave your situation, whether it's your job or your relationship or whatever. You say, I'm going to take the risk and I'm going to risk letting go and moving on. What's the worst that can happen? Go down and make a list. I could be alone. I'll never find anybody else. I'll be unemployed for a long time. In fact, side note, I never recommend leaving a job until you have another one, because you're always more employable when you are employed than when you are unemployed. But let's look at the worst things that can happen. List them. Then look at the best things that can happen. If I risk leaving this situation or this relationship or this job, I could be happy. I could be more relaxed. I could find something that fills my heart and makes me feel better. So list all the positive things. Then if you decide, I'm going to step out and take a risk, find another job, get another relationship, leave this one, whatever the risk is you're going to take, then you set your intention for the positive things to happen. If they don't happen, then what you do is retreat to the safe zone if something negative happens. That's normal. You get back to the safe zone, you regroup, you lick your wounds, and you recenter, and you reevaluate, get some help if you need it. But have you survived before when you've taken a risk and it's been hard? That's the big issue. And so when we have trouble letting go, we are afraid. We need to look at what we're afraid of. We don't know how to take a risk, or when we've taken risks in the past, we've been frightened, and or we've been scared, or we have felt victimized, or it hasn't worked out, and it's been difficult for us. So we tend to be fearful and not risk again. So what you can do is make some notes about what are you afraid of, what are the risks you want to take, and evaluate. So you've defined the thing that you're thinking about, I should let go of this situation, or this thought process, or this trauma, or this whatever. What am I afraid of if I let it go? What would happen to me? All right, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk more about how we get attached to the things that we need to let go of. All right, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167, 241-1167.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you're listening to the title track, Walking with the Spirits, on the CD, Walking with the Spirits. Native American flutist, award winner, numerous Native American music awards, Cherokee Native, Randy McGinnis, and his beautiful Native American flute music. Thank you, Randy, for letting us play your music on Therapy in a Nutshell. It is healing and wonderful music. You can go to his website, randymcginnis.com, and find out more about it and how to purchase it. So today we are talking about letting go. How do we let go of something that was going to last forever? That is the chorus words to a beautiful song. And we're going to play that song at the end of the show and let you hear it, the whole entire song. We'll play it last thing we do when we go. But today we're talking about letting go. So we need to understand how we attach to something that we then later need to try and let go of. Whether we know it or not, we have expectations of anything and everything. We have expectations of our jobs, of our kids, of the food we eat, of our doctors. We have expectations of therapy. We have expectations of marriage, of our spouse. When we understand what our own expectations are, we have a window into our own soul. There is a concept that I call empty hands. When we can empty our hands of expectations, we have a better ability to deal with things that are placed in our hands. Now, it's almost impossible to walk around with empty hands all the time. There are people who are calmer, who are less irritated by things, who have worked hard to let go of expectations, and they are more evolved than many other people. But most of us, when we really stop to recognize it, we have some expectations in our hands. So in my office, I have this basket of Nerf balls. Some of you who have seen me in therapy are smiling because you go, oh, yeah, she's done the Nerf ball thing with me. I have this basket of Nerf balls, and what I do is I bring it out, and I say, okay, let's look at all the things that are in your hands regarding your relationships. Say someone's in my office talking about, how do I leave a marriage? How do I leave this important relationship? And I say, what are your expectations? And I pull out the Nerf balls and I hand them to them and I ask them to name each expectation, or even if they don't have a conscious, concrete expectation, they're holding an armful of Nerf balls. And I say, so then something happens. How do you separate out what you expect about this situation that happens over all the other expectations you've had in your hands? how do you let go? How do you empty your hands? The first thing you've got to do is you've got to really stop and explore what your expectations are and what expectations you feel have been violated that makes you want to leave this relationship. So again, put this in any framework. Is it your job you're thinking you need to let go of? Is it you need to let go of working and step into retirement? Is it the relationship you're in that isn't working for you? Is it a relationship with your doctor that you feel isn't working correctly? Is there an expectation with your adult children or your little kids? So what are your expectations? And how do you let go when you've wanted those expectations to be met? Our tendency as human beings is when our expectations are not met, we feel betrayed, violated, victimized, we feel angry, and we feel entitled for whoever is violating our expectation to make it right. So let's look at family for a minute. When we have close family, whether it's siblings or aunts or uncles or your own mom, when we have family, we generally have an expectation that they will love us forever. So what happens when someone in your family stops loving you? How do you feel? Do you feel heartbroken? Are you angry? Do you feel betrayed? Do you feel victimized? Do you feel like you can't get their attention to work things out? They won't step into talking about it. What are your expectations with family? A situation that I hear often in my office is adult parents with drug-addicted children. This is a very difficult situation. I have often seen grandparents raising grandchildren because their adult children are alcoholics or drug addicts or in jail because of alcohol or drugs or crime. But parents have trouble letting go of their children. It is a natural instinct for us to do anything and everything to keep our children safe. It doesn't matter if they're 3 or 30 or 50. When we have children in trouble, it is our natural instinct to go to bat for them, to step in front of a train for them, to try to make them safe. So when your adult child has created harm over and over and over again, how do you let go? I have counseled many parents of adult addicts, and what we talk about is not letting go of loving them. Often when we let go, we don't have to let go of loving. We have to let go of our behaviors that create that attachment. So I will talk to adults about parents about letting go of their adult children by setting boundaries. For example, I would say, look, when he wants to come over and crash at your house because he's worn out all his couch surfing on all the other addicts or whatever, the boundary is no, because remember the last time he came and crashed at your house for 2 weeks, he stole your mother's jewelry that was in your jewelry box. He stole the VCR or the DVD player and pawned it. He took a gun from his dad's safe and sold that, and you were violated. And it also fed his drug habit. So you remember you changed the locks on the door. You barred the windows. You made it so he couldn't break into the house very easily. And you told him no, no more. So now he's cold and he's hungry and he's telling you he has no place to sleep. And he's definitely got his puppy dog eyes going. And you want to let him back in. That's the boundary. So I say to them, what if you had a boundary that said, if you are cold and hungry, I will bring you a jacket. I'll take you to the thrift store and buy you a $5 jacket. I'll meet you over there at McDonald's or pick a restaurant. I'll meet you there. I'll feed you. You bring them a bag of groceries, of things that they can't readily sell, you know, things that don't need to be refrigerated, a loaf of bread, a jar of peanut butter, bananas, some fruit. And that's what you're willing to do. I'll meet you anywhere, and I'll make sure that you're safe and fed, but I won't bring you home. I won't give you money. I'm not going to feed your habit. Those are boundaries, and it's also a letting go. And one of the things you have to let go of are those expectations that your child will be someone you can be proud of. Your child will be like your friend's kids who went to college and are doing great, and they have a close family relationship, and they're really reliable adults now. That feeling of envy of your friend's kids who are doing well, that feeling of disappointment that your kids are someone that you have to let go of, is grief striking. So the letting go doesn't mean stopping loving. The letting go means letting go of behaviors that are destructive to you, enabling of that adult child who's addicted, and trying to do your relationship with them from a different perspective that does not harm you or enable him or her. So the point I'm making is that when we have to let go, we have to understand what the expectations are that we had that made us cling to wishing that the outcome were different. So exploring those expectations, exploring what you're afraid of, looking at what you wished had been and what had happened is really important, because then it allows you to see how it's not working. For example, when we get married, our expectation is that this will last a lifetime. Have you ever heard somebody walking down the aisle going, I'll get out of this next year? Not usually. Can happen. But not usually. Everybody thinks it's going to last forever. So how do you let go when something's supposed to last forever? Whether it's your children or your spouse or a best friend. How often do we have a best friend and there's a time and a season for that friend? And then things change. People move on. Situations happen. Things come out with another person that you didn't know was there, and it's time to let go because something's toxic or unhealthy. We have expectations. And that brings us to another piece of this. With our expectations comes an attachment to outcome. Attachment to outcome is where we apply our own thoughts and expectations and desires to a relationship, to a situation. Whether the relationship is like a job or a spouse or a friend, it doesn't matter. We apply our expectations to that situation, and then we get attached to the outcome that we want. It's never an outcome with someone else wants that we get attached to. It's the outcome we want. And if anybody thinks we don't get attached, you're kind of fooling yourself. Every single one of us has a me filter. And there's no way to get by your own me filter. I don't care how sanctimonious you are, how God like you are, that you can say, I need nothing, I want nothing, it's never about me. It's always about us. It has to be. Now, some people have bigger me filters than others, right? I mean, you've met somebody that they can never see past their me filter. And then you have people that are more balanced in their me filter. But that me filter is, what do I want to be the outcome of this relationship, whatever the relationship is, and what are my expectations? What did I go into this relationship hoping would be, and what is not happening, and what attachment to outcome have I have? That lets you know what your disappointments are, where you feel victimized, where you feel like somebody's betrayed you or hasn't met your expectations or created the outcome that you wish to happen in your life. So that's what we're talking about right now in terms of letting go. Expectations and attachment to outcome. In the first section, we were talking about what are you afraid of? And if you let go, what are the things that you're afraid will happen? And also, how do you end up getting out of that safe zone and taking the risk and actually allowing yourself to let go? Okay, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some very concrete ways to let go. All right, take a break and we'll be right back.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. fivestarbank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory, with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member IPC.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are listening to the incredibly beautiful music of Lucille Carlson, classical violinist with the Prague Symphony, playing with Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist, from the CD Walking with the Spirits. And that's the track Where My People Once Lived. Just a beautiful combination of classical violin and Native American flute. So today, we are talking about letting go, and it's actually a very difficult thing for many, many people, and we've been exploring how do we attach to the things that we eventually are unhappy about, and then we need to let go, and why is it hard to let go? And one of the reasons I wanted to do this show today is I get really tired of all the trite things that people say to each other, like, just step away from it, just let go, give it to God, you can be fine. Those are all lovely little things to say, but how do you actually go about letting go, moving away, grieving the loss? And it's hard, and we have to acknowledge that it's hard. So if you're just now tuning in, you're going to need to go back to my podcast when this is when this show's all over. I put it on my podcast, which is on Anchor app. Anchor like a boat, anchor.fm. You can download the app for free, or you can do the podcast from Spotify, iTunes, and a ton of other podcast platforms. Just type in Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell, and the podcast will come up. And they're free. Feel free to share them with anybody that you think might help. But you need to listen to the first part of the show where we're talking about how do we attach. So I want to talk a little bit about how do we actually let go? How do we move into a space where we can let go of something that we thought was going to last forever. So letting go is actually stepping into the realization that we cannot control everything. In fact, we can control very little. So can we control the outcome that we want when we attach to something? When we attach, we tend to form expectations of how we're going to be treated, what it's going to be like, what's the financial gain, what's the emotional gain, what will happen within this relationship, whether it's a job or a significant other or a friendship or your family members. We tend to say what's going to happen and how we think the outcome will be. So when we realize that we cannot control the outcome of things and that, in fact, we have very little control over outcome, then we can let go of feeling victimized. It is often not our job to form the outcome for a given situation. Outcomes unfold. When you enter into a significant relationship, when you get married to somebody, or when you get significantly tied to somebody, the outcome unfolds over time. And the outcome is based on many, many things that happen between everybody that's involved in this relationship, the energy they put in, and how it evolves. The control is not just yours. So when we cling tightly to control, thinking that we can make everything okay or change the outcome, we get very frustrated. So one of the first steps is really sitting down and recognizing we cannot control everything, and in fact, we can control very little. So what if the letting go you have to do is because somebody left you? It's really hard. Sometimes it's easier to be the rejecter rather than the rejectee. So the person who does the rejecting feels more empowered sometimes. So if someone wants to leave us, if a job wants to tell us to go, if a relationship says they're done, if a friend says, I don't want to be your friend anymore, if your family member says, I don't want to be around you, I don't love you, what do you do? What if you want a different outcome? Sometimes we don't have control of this, and we have to honor the free agency in that person. And by free agency, I mean their ability to make their own decisions, even when we think they're wrong, even when we wished for a different outcome. Sometimes we have to honor that somebody else is stepping away. And as sad as it might be, and as much as you might grieve, and as angry as you might get that the outcome you desired is not what happens, sometimes you have to allow that person to leave. That's really sad. How do we let go when someone's died? How do we let go when they let go of us and move on to someone else? How do we let go when a job that we've loved or put our heart and soul into downsizes and doesn't want us anymore? Those are very sad. And the issue becomes about control. We can't always fix everything. We can't always change the outcome. So sometimes it is about accepting that which makes you very, very sad, breathing and crying and grieving, and allowing yourself not to cling tightly to what you wished had been. So when we can let go of the need, the desire, the attempt to control the outcome of a situation, and we can allow that situation to unfold, and we can accept what is occurring, even if we don't like it. By accepting, I don't mean like my husband Rich used to say, my husband that died used to say, don't go all namaste on me. It was always funny when he said that. What he meant was, you know, I'll say, no, it's okay, it's all right, it's, you know, whatever. I'm not talking about doing that. I'm talking about saying, how can I accept this? How can I just be sad? How can I grieve without clinging tightly? So we can let go of the control. We can let go of the attachment to outcome, and we can still be sad or disappointed. Go back to the example of the parent who has to let go of the adult child who is having a horrible time with addiction. It's hard, but if they can say to themselves, I cannot control this, it is not mine to control, not mine to fix, I can't make this person do what I want them to do, I have to simply accept the situation they're in and set my own boundaries, then the letting go is about acceptance. So I want to give you a metaphor before we're done. I want you to think of those kind of adrenaline junkie things like zip lining or bungee jumping or parachuting out of an airplane. How do you stand on the precipice? How do you stand on the edge and actually lean forward into the nothingness? I went ziplining recently and stood at the top of a 5-story building looking out, looking down, and I'm going, wow, how do you just catapult yourself off from up here and trust and know that this is well made and the lines are going to hold and you're going to be just fine? So I stood there just contemplating the existential reality of jumping off a 5-story building with a simple, you know, wire hanging me from a thing and a strap suit sort of thing, you know, a harness. And I said, that's why you're here. You're up here to practice letting go. You're up here to trust and catapult yourself into the nothingness and know that you will come out the other end and you'll be okay. So it's really kind of fun to go do something like that, where you have to jump into the nothingness. You have to trust that things have been set up so that you are going to be okay. And it was a thrilling example of doing that when I was ziplining. And it's the same thing with the bungee jumping or jumping out of an airplane. It's about trust and about letting go. So in just brief recap of letting go, you need to empty your hands. You need to know what expectations are in there and that you're holding on to. You need to let go of the attachment to outcome. And you need to do your best to accept and to grieve and to cry and to breathe and allow yourself to not have to try and control everything and to let go. We're going to finish this show with a beautiful song that was actually written and produced by my daughter, Tara Bay Bedford. Tara wrote this song, and it's about letting go. So we're going to finish the show with that song. Thank you so much for tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
Get me every time. You think I'd learn my lesson? How could I be so blind? What else have I been missing? Made my mistake, but you made yours too. How did we get here? So complicated. My heart is breaking. Yours is too. Remember a time when we thought we made it. How do you let go of something that was gonna last forever? How can there be so much love and still not be right? All of the hurt, all of the lies.
can't do this forever.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.